Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Arnie Lukes here at the Crossroads, and I'd like to again welcome Eve Potvin from Canada. Welcome, Eve.
Hello. Hi again.
No worries.
Good morning.
How's the weather in Canada, Eve?
It's nice and mild. We had some snow last night, but it was a wet kind of snow, and it starts to disappear already. But we haven't got a lot of snow, maybe 6 inches in the last 3 or 4 weeks. So we keep getting this snow every 5 days or every other week or something like that. We get 4 or 5 inches or 2 inches, 3 inches. So it keeps the snow on the ground. But I mean, it's so mild. I think the groundhog came out of the hole, saw shadow, went back in, and we only got 6 weeks of winter left.
Isn't that
Apparently,
interesting?
that's how it works.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? We sort of look at something in order to gauge, because in reality the Weather Bureau, of course, wouldn't have a clue. We've got the same predicament in Australia. Weather forecasts tell us it's going to be a dry, long, hot summer, and the fact is we've had rain right across Australia. All the fires are out, and the dams are starting to fill. So the Weather Bureau, as far as reading the world itself and trying to take into account the signs and things that are there, they wouldn't have a clue. I think they've lost their ability. They used to be quite good at it, and now I think it's more a propaganda wing for the whole climate thing, rather than science. Science, observable, repeatable science. It's very, very important. Our subject today, as again last week, is regeneration. And we're going to continue on that theme. I personally think regeneration always starts with the individual. It starts with a person choosing to say, well, I've had enough. We're going in the wrong direction, and what can I do? How can I actually empower myself, give myself sufficient knowledge in order to become an effective and active person within the community? How do I do it? And of course, the pilgrims have got an array. I'm just going to cut across to the website. The pilgrims have got a significant resources available through the archives, through their articles, all that sort of stuff. And of course, their Michael Journal. They've done a beaut job, and it's a tool. It's a valid tool in order to understand a perspective on the world around us, and of course, the financial system. I think regeneration starts with you, it starts with me. Your thoughts, Eve Budvay?
Yes, you're absolutely right. If we study a little more, if we educate ourselves, I mean, in our environment, the social creditors and our type of environment, we already know what the system needs, what has to be changed, and it's a correction of the financial systems. And earlier, we were talking before we got online. There's candidates going in. There's an election this year in the States, and so there's new parties or new candidates being introduced in the parties, and some of them look really good. So you're planning to look at the party, and this is, oh, it's exciting. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. When really nothing will happen through a party. You never get anything through a politician's that is the head of the party, because he's actually controlled by finance. He's the one that the parties are financed by the elites, and they do the things that the what they tell them to do. And so they when they get I'm sure they've all got good what do you call it? The good
Intentions.
good intentions. Yeah, they got good intentions. I'm going to help you people, and I promise to do this, and I promise to do that. And when they get voted in for some reason, they're ready to start to make their ruling for certain things, lower taxes and higher the pension for the people and help the people. And all of a sudden, they hear a knock on the door of their office, and it's Mr. Elite Banker. He's coming to talk to them. We know you got good intentions, you want to cut the pensions, you want to, or you want to increase the pensions, you want less taxes and this and that. Let me remind you, if you want to keep your job, you increase the taxes, lower the pensions, and cut everything you got here that costs you money. You have programs, services, and all that in your province, your country. You have to cut that. You have to get back onto paying your debt. You owe us. So this is what it's all about. So what are we going to do?
Yeah, no, that's a valid observation. Even that is that there is a power over governments, and it's the cap in hand that governments go to central banks. I noted the other day, I actually wrote it down in Australia where we had our own People's Bank, and in 1924 a Conservative government emasculated that bank. But again, I think it was in 1944, 1947, Bretton Woods agreement was signed. And that Bretton Woods, of course, that agreement was to direct banking towards a central bank, a world central bank. And of course, this campaign of transferring monetary power, monetary sovereignty, across to an international entity. And then in Australia, I think it was 1997, under a Labor government, all right, a Labor, not Conservative, a Labor government, the final tranche of our People's Bank was sold into the marketplace. And it was such an acts of treachery that have continued on all this time. You know, 80 years worth of treachery of handing over our financial sovereignty. Now, if we follow history, we see that in Britain, 1694 was the establishment of the Bank of England. The national debt started that year, and it has never, ever been paid off. 1694, the British government, whether it's the monarchy, the parliament, whatever, started a national debt to private bankers, and it has never, ever been redeemed. Hundreds of years it's been in debt. And the thing is that when you consider that a banking system is simply a method of counting the value, the real value in coinage or in notes. I mean, you print the notes. Where's the value in that? It's the belief that people hold in finance. They hold a belief that there is something intrinsically valuable in the actual notes and coins or the computer blips. But in actual fact, it's not. It's a belief system, and it's almost like black magic, that it can't be broken. And this is the power, this is the black magic that the witch doctors have even over our governments. Eve.
Yeah, and they still run that powerful system that they have. And I think that they keep certain people happy by giving them a certain amount of money, letting them have a certain type of living. And that makes the poorer people look at them and say, well, you know, I got to work harder like those guys, you know, I got to. So they're all kind of brainwashed into that system. That's the system. That's what the way you're going to live. Mm. And but we've seen in the past, the debt now is, they don't even talk about the debt clock, the way the debt is. They just say that we owe a lot and you better start. So what are they going to do with us in the next 5-10 years? I know that the elites have a plan, and we've talked about it before. Agenda 2030, they're going to straighten out everything. They're going to help us out. And this is what they say. They're going to help us out in different programs and so on and so forth. And you only have to, and they want to impoverish us. They want to indebt us even more. They've added the taxes on the government, and we have to pay. We don't have enough money to catch up with all the those debts. It's just impossible. And but when you look at the past throughout history, you're looking at Benjamin Franklin back in the United States, and it's such a beautiful time during his during the 13 colonies of the states. Had a beautiful era there in the 1794, I think it was, and they had there was no bank money, there was no money available, so Benjamin Franklin decided to print his own colonial script. And until England sent some money, that's what they were going to use. And it lasted for a few years. And then they went back to England. And Benjamin Franklin had to do a report or something and told the government that, oh, we're doing fine in our colonies. Their prosperity is in there, and we're doing great. And he says, oh, how are you doing that? So, well, we use our own colonial script. It doesn't put us in debt, and so on and so forth. And the bankers overheard that, and they said, whoa, whoa, whoa. We can't go that way. It's no good. That's going to create inflation. It's going to create poverty. And as soon as England, the bankers of England, sent money over to the colonies, it was debt money at that time. And within a year, most of them went bankrupt. Like there was no jobs. Everything was upside down. So you can see that it can be done. We have the smarts to have a better system, but the fact is, are the bankers or the elites willing to let us have it? And this is when we have to step in. Uh-huh. We have to start a revolution, if you want to call it that way. It's more like a knowledge revolution. Uh-huh. So we really have to get together and get educated on the fact that it doesn't have to be that way. Look at what happened in the past. So why are we doing it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They sent a man to the moon, you know, like, why can't we fix the silly financial system that we have?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Eve. In Australia, we've got a similar history. 1911, 1912, Australian federal government at the time, this is only an infant. We're only 10 years, 12 years into federation. And the infant government established the Commonwealth Bank under a directorship of Denison Miller. And Denison Miller was a banker, and he understood exactly how banks worked, and he was actually supported by a bloke called King O'Malley. O'Malley claimed to be Canadian, but I understand he was probably American, but because Canada was part of the Commonwealth, he justified his entrance into the Parliament on Canadian citizenship. Anyway, the point being that the bank was established between 1912 and 1924, Australia processed the First World War, and it also established Board of Works, East-West Railway Line, woolen mills, steamships, radio, wireless radio, refineries. It did a huge amount of, if you like, expansion of public services and utilities, and these were done debt-free. 1924, a conservative government emasculated that bank and changed the whole nature of banking, changed it around. Australia went through the Second World War and came out of it with astronomical debts. Now let's just take into account when Britain under central banking, Britain took nearly 100 years to pay off its First World War debts. Australia left the war, completed the war, and was debt free because we had the People's Bank. I know that Canada's got a similar history. Banking is so vital. Banking is so vital. And the thing is that as a nation, if you're on an island nation, and you were self-sustaining, you are mining the minerals, you are manufacturing the products, you are feeding the people, you are building the homes, you're doing all these things. And all you need to do is have a financial system that reflects those and facilitates those. When you've completed the tasks, there's no such thing as debt if you're on an island. It should be, well, we've completed it. The debts are paid. We've done everything physically necessary to produce the goods. The debt should be paid. But in actual fact, the fraudulent system says, no, you've got to owe the banks forever and ever. Now, that's the history. That's the history of finance. And it's one of fraud and corruption. It's one of bribery and, if you like, intrigue. It's going back hundreds and hundreds of years. A bloke called David Graeber wrote a book, I think it was 5,000 Years of Debt, and he recorded in that just the level of corruption that's in it, and intrigue and subterfuge. It goes on and on through civilization after civilization. In order for us to restore order and have our own sovereign financial systems, We need to actually recapture our politicians. We need to recapture our parliaments. We need to recapture our law courts, our judiciary, our bureaucracy, our public servants. We need to recapture all of these things. It's actually a fight for freedom. Now, I think revolution is perhaps the wrong word, but I think restoration is the right word. It's a restoration. It's restoring back of what was. We have to look very, very hard at how to do that. And it only starts from the seat of real power, and that is the individual. It starts from there. The yellow vests in France are individuals. There's no huge structure on that. They're campaigning as individuals in Hong Kong against the dominant administration of China. It's individuals doing that. There's no structure. There's no supervisory over whatever. They are actually responding to the problem and standing up and saying, no, we want our freedoms. We want our freedoms. And that's how restoration begins. It begins by you and I choosing to do something about it and saying, no, this has gone too far. I can't turn my back on this anymore. I must accept my response, my ability to respond, my responsibility. I have to accept my responsibility and, from a moral perspective, insist that I must be free. I must be free. I must not accept slavery as a way of life. Your thoughts, Eve?
Yes, it's my duty. Mm. It's all of our duty. Mm-hmm. Our duty is yeah, you can watch sports, a little TV, a little this and that, but a little entertainment. But you know what? There is pressing things coming down the pipe. Mm-hmm. We have a duty to make sure that the government listens to the people. Mm-hmm. And the people, for some reason, accept, you know, they accept the party. There's one that's like that, one that's like that, the green, the whatever. And there's nothing really being done. So we've got to, like you say, the yellow vest, the different groups like that, we're the social creditors. So our group has got to get up and do something. We've been doing something for 80 years, but we need the bulk of society to understand that this is a fight that we have to correct the financial system. Mm-hmm. Yeah, put pressure on the politicians, the government, and really get involved into doing something really true. You know, we have all kinds of peoples, you know, saving, and this is what the elites have done. They said, well, create a little soup kitchen here and a little group to do this. And I go talk to these groups, and they must be brainwashed, because you talk to them and says, well, we're doing our duty. We everybody gives a can of bean and it feeds a family for a week. So we're doing the work. But that's not what we need. We need to change the whole thing. Yeah. One day you're not going to have a can of bean to give. You're going to take it away from you.
That's right.
So where are you going to get your beans?
Yeah, that's exactly right. If you look at the history of Ireland, Ireland was had feudal lords, if you like, the elites. They were British elites, or they were foreign, actually, correctly. They were actually foreign elites, and the country had been taken over. And they were absentee landlords. And the fact is that the potato crops failed. The other crops didn't fail, but they were reliant on the potatoes for their food. Yeah. So when the crops failed, they starved, and they starved in their millions. And the thing is that the foreign elites who were running all this land, they had no compunction whatsoever to exploit the situation and refused to give up their profit for the sake of the people who starved. And it really was such a cold, calculated, callous attitude. And in my view, okay, you've got the advocates of socialism, and they're saying, well, you know, we need a world power to sort this out. We don't. But the other side of the coin, I call it laissez-faire, is a cold, calculated, ruthless attitude towards exploitation. It is predatory in its very nature. And we've got to look at the whole thing, that when one party says one thing, it does it, another party supposedly says the opposite, but both are predatory. Both are handing power to central government, to totalitarianism. Both are doing it. It's not just one. So when we look and say, well, I'm voting for the Blues, okay, I'm voting for the Blues because I might get more work. Well, okay, at $10 an hour, are you really surviving? When the assets, the resources, the technology, all of the real credit in the community actually belongs to the community, not those individuals, those squillionaire individuals that have got the coal mines, they've got all of the fields, they've got all of the resources, all of the water, all of the power. Those assets are built up by the community. They actually belong to the community, and they've been, if you like, hocked through governments into the hands of private individuals. So wrong. So wrong. So you've got to look and say, well, how do we actually start to bring these stripped assets back into the fold so that we can control our own destiny? I mean, if it's Canada and it's water or it's power or it's land, if it's industry, if it's coal sands, oil sands,
yeah.
They belong to the Canadians. They belong to the Canadians. It is public assets. And the government has no right to hand these assets over to, if you like, people, other people, so that the Canadians miss out on it. They have no right to do it, and they need to be seized back. They need to be brought back into the hands of the community so that the oil sands, so that the water, the power, the forests are there for the benefit of all Canadians, not just a handful of elites. It is so wrong. And so this, if you like, this laissez-faire, this monopolism, monopoly capitalism, exploiting for private gain, it is so wrong. We've got to review the whole thing and come back and say a fair and equitable financial system, a fair and equitable financial system places the voting power, the financial voting power, at the feet of the individual. That's what social credit is about. It's about, similar to a vote, everyone has a fair share of the vote. Everyone needs to have a fair share of the economy. A fair share. That's what this national dividend is about, the consumer price discount. Holding a set of scales, a just set of scales, against what the community can produce from the real assets that belong to the community. It's a totally different narrative. And this is where education comes into it. We have to rethink it. We have to go back and don't listen to the hogwash that's coming from the media, from the education institutions. It's not teaching you the facts. The facts are there that those resources, Canadian resources, belong to Canada. They belong to the people of Canada, not private individuals. That is so wrong. And it goes back hundreds and hundreds of years. We look at, as I said, the Irish. I'm restating it. The Irish. Those foreign individuals who claimed all of the assets of Ireland as their own were so wrong. And we've got to come back because the Commons has again been closed off for the people. The Commons has been closed off. Your thoughts, Eve?
It reminds me of the story. It's in all the constitution of all the countries, by the way. We've been given constitution. It came from God originally, but it was given to us as a country. Mm-hmm. And but the elites and the power to be just ignores those constitution.
That's right.
Give me the right to create and control the money of a country, and I do not care about its laws.
That's right.
So we have a country like Burkina Faso in Africa, a good story that one of our cardinals had found and wrote about it in one of our books, Economic Democracy or Social Credit. And he wrote about Tom Sankara. And Tom Sankara was the president of the country, Burkina Faso. Mm-hmm. It was an army type of like a army, what do you call it? They was controlled by the army.
Yeah, military, yeah.
It was by military, and they had this meeting with the elites, the bankers, the different governments of Africa, and so on and so forth. And he came and did a speech. He was dressed in his military outfit and made a big speech that his country had been taken over by these elites. And they put the people in such debt that they were so poor that nothing was given to them. Mm-hmm. Everything, the work was all done by local, like American companies or big companies, big corporations. And the local people were promised to be given jobs and so on and so forth, which they were never given jobs.
Yeah.
And so he told them, he says, the money you lent us, we didn't ask for that loan at 17% interest. Mm-hmm. This is, it's usury, more than usury, it's murder. Mm-hmm. You have taken over our country through a fraudulent system, mm-hmm. a fraudulent loan.
Yeah.
He said, we're not going to pay that loan.
Yeah.
So right now, I'm telling you, everybody here, those that are with me, I'm telling you, we're not going to pay that debt. And those that follow me, fine. Those that don't follow me, I'll probably be dead within a couple of months. And 3 months later, they murdered him. And they put back a minister or a president that would listen to the elites.
Uh-huh.
So it takes. But those people have never forgotten that story.
Uh-huh.
They love that man because he was working for the people.
Yeah.
And they've always had it in mind. They have a website. I go on it to check once in a while to see what's going on. And it is tough because they're very poor people.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, they never forgot.
Uh-huh.
So it takes another person maybe to teach them, which we have, to teach them about social credit and how we can. And they've learned a lot from that.
Yeah.
And so this is how we're going to, as a people, this is how we're going to restore, regenerate this fraudulent money system that is run by a mafia,
uh-huh.
a world mafia who controls all the different assets, the different things of the world through the monetary system.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to come down to a halt.
Yeah.
Someday it's not going to survive. Because it can't. Something is going to happen.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
But something is bound to happen because it's not sustainable. It just doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
So somebody will either have a war or will have... somebody's going to revolt.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I resistance. Hate to say that. But.
I think resistance is a very important word, Eve. Resistance.
Yeah.
Now, resistance isn't revolution. It isn't violence. It's actually resistance against something. Now, I believe that Jesus said, resist the devil and he will flee. And this is what we've got to consider, that the individuals acting, yes, it is in unity, but the thing is they're acting autonomously. You can't educate, you can't become educated unless you educate yourself. You've actually got to go after the information. You've got to go after real history, not the fabricated history that I call the mainstream media, which really is the education systems, even higher levels of education, is part of the mainstream indoctrinating media. You've got to do it yourself. Now, there has never, ever been a time in history where so much information is available and the resources are there. The Pilgrims website is a huge repository. The ALOR.org library is another huge repository of information, of real history, of PDFs. You can actually get an entire copy of our website. We'll mail it to you on two DVDs. Just send a donation and cover mileage, and we'll actually produce the DVDs and send them to you so that you've got hundreds and hundreds of books, thousands and thousands of pages of information. And then put it on your computer, put a search engine over it, and you can actually go through those archives and have a look and see how this thing has actually unfolded, certainly the last 100 years. You'll also have excellent resource of the works of Douglass, the social creditors that are there, And of course, if you build on it with the PDFs that's in the Pilgrims website, and you bring it into that same archive, you'll have a huge resource. Don't tell me you don't have the tools. You do have the tools. What is the only thing lacking is the willing flesh, the flesh. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. It's a matter of incarnating, putting the flesh into order, incarnating your faith. And to me, there's such an opportunity here. I know it's risky. Of course it is. I know that it's an act of faith. It's an act that believing that we can actually achieve a better future. But it's worth going after. The Christians, when they were fed to the lions, they held their ground. And in the end, they won through. It was not an easy ask. And neither is this. The enemy is formidable, but not impossible. Not impossible. We're at 31 minutes. Eve, I'd ask for a summary and closing comments, please.
Okay, what... I went to a town last week, and I did some door-to-door in businesses. Mm-hmm. I go to a main street where a lot of the stores are closed. They're not doing well. So I do that once or twice a week. I talk to a lot of people in their stores, owners, and so on and so forth. Most of them will listen to the story of we've got to correct the financial system, because everybody has a worry behind, especially when they're in business, mm-hmm. and their future of their children, the future of the business is at stake. Mm-hmm. So they all listen to a certain extent to what I have to say. And they tell me, I have the information here, I will look into it, and then I mentioned the website and so on and so forth. Basically, that's the only way, other than the internet, that we can maybe spread the word of the solution for a better world, for to correct the financial system. It's the only way we're going to get a better world. Mm-hmm. We've got to achieve justice before we get peace. It's a must.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So no, that's my closing thoughts.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that, Eve. It's I know it's challenging. It's not comfortable where we're going with these forums, but the fact is that regeneration comes at a price. Nothing of any real value, lasting value, comes easy. It's so, so important to think, yes, okay, I'm that person. I will stand up. I will put my faith into works. I will incarnate my faith. And of course, faith without works is death. So faith with works is life, and life more abundant. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Eve Podvay from Canada.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
See you next time.
Okay.